Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM. Oh, 201. There goes my Derby. There goes my whole Derby package. No, it's just a couple of pages of it. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And I just was looking to get a handle on the Eastern Seaboard in terms of how the wet weather is going to come through today here after yesterday's off the turf in New York. A couple of things have happened already, and the concern, of course, is that, you know, there's going to be an inundation. Plus, tonight, don't forget, we're going to start the show early with visit with Eric Zimny at Charlestown. They've got the classic card tonight, and I would look and see. But last night, while Tina and I were watching a movie, I made the mistake of organizing my phone. I probably shouldn't have done this before a trip, but I I grouped a bunch of stuff. I went from like six pages, you know what I mean, on the screen. I consolidated to two pages, and then of course it'll take you a week to figure out where you put everything. That's the one rub. We're going to talk to Eric, and the card tonight, really amazing, actually, that they're able to even pull this together. The $600,000 Charlestown Classic, the three-turner, a mile and an eighth. And also, you know, which is great, too, and also the grade three Charlestown Oaks tonight as well. Card starts at 5 o'clock Eastern. The stakes action begins with the Levitt, a 7-furlong job for West Virginia-bred three-year-olds, and continues on until the nightcap, the Bishop Memorial, which goes off at 10:48. And the two features, $800,000 worth, and there's more, too, actually. There's another three six-figure stakes on the card. The Dance to Bristol for the fillies and mares, and $150,000 and $200,000 events, the Hilton and the Russell Road, the three-year-old and three and up options on this rich card. And you know, and I'll ask Eric this question. It feels like he placed, to some degree, they placed this card in the same proximity that it's run to Derby, right? It's essentially in the same spot, a week before Derby, sometimes 2 weeks before Derby. And I had toyed, because I'm insane, and because it's been so hard to not attend as much live racing as you'd like, I did toy with scooting straight down to Charlestown for tonight, and then, you know, dashing west to Louisville. But I think it's already taken enough cajoling and arm twisting of Tina to get me to get the stamp of approval, to have my passport, to get my visa to leave town for whatever, 9 days. Keeping an eye, we'll talk about Charlestown. I know Scully looked at it too. He looked at the two graded stakes tonight. So James, as part of his weekend previewing, will give you an idea, because they're both very, you know, predictably attractive betting races. There are some horses, some fillies particularly, I think, that are coming out. Hopeful Growth, for instance, who entered here, but is running in Oaks, unless somehow the plan has changed, but I don't think it has. Anthony Margata Jr., and hopeful growth, and in fact, Manny Franco, when he wrote for us the other day, when I asked Manny, you know, what kind of other mounts Angel had lined up for him at Churchill, and he said, Margata, I'm going to ride Margata, and hopeful growth. And of course, we talked to Anthony and his really inspirational story after the win at Monmouth. So I think hopeful growth is coming out. We'll see if anybody else is, but there is an AE, call on mischief, for Stidham that could keep it filled up to 9 or 10. And then, of course, the 10 and an AE in the Charlestown Classic. So we'll see what Scully's thoughts are. And in fact, I'll give you the rundown. Eric Zimney has mentioned James Scully in this hour. We'll start hour two with the Derby Watch with Jay Pribman, DRF Pribman, joining us at the top of hour two. And we've got plenty to recap, actually, with Jay as well, given the depth of that Del Mar card and Del Mar weekend. We'll also do some Del Mar previewing with Jay, as well as you know, get the last couple days' worth of Derby doings with Priv. And we'll stay on the Derby Oaks focus for a visit with Kevin Kirstein. And Kevin has been really helpful and has been posted early and often at Churchill from the clocking stand. And if you had a chance this morning, you know, each morning 7 to 8, the team from the Downs with Joe Christofek and Brandon Staubel this morning.
Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
We're back. I don't know. I guess something on this end, and certainly not the storm yet. And in fact, after a kind of a nasty night here, the sun's coming out. So I don't know. Casey just said, "Oh, you're disconnected." Okay. So I don't know what you missed, but we were talking about the workout action at Churchill this morning. Kevin Kirstein with a roundup later in hour two, and watched. I was talking about the 7 to 8. Broadcast coming from the Downs with Joe Christofek and Brandon Staubel, Ed DeRosa, Scott Shapiro, Scully will be on undoubtedly. Chantal Sutherland has been drafted, and Chantal providing some, you know, physicality and some of the, you know, some of the body language of the, particularly of the gallopers and the workouts, and a nice addition as well. So certainly has been on top of enough horses to see what is happening and provide, you know, the rider perspective. And the works this morning, Art Collector, obviously, his last serious drill. Major Fed early in the morning for Greg Foley, who looked really good. And I'm anxious, actually, to get some further thoughts about the way he runs. He's a funny horse. He's got kind of a high-chested carriage going, and then when asked to, you know, to press on, he'll start to extend and drop down a little bit. Kind of interesting, and I thought he looked tremendous. Necker Island this morning with an interesting he would have been quite content to stay out there another 15, 20 minutes. Miguel Mena, getting to know him, and he actually, I'm sure some people will make something of that, you know, of the recalcitrance getting started, but he did not pull up until the track kitchen. And that part of it, Miguel, you know, let him, you know, gallop out and gallop out and gallop out, and it very useful. I've made it very clear what a fan I am of Miguel Mena, and Necker Island, one of the good sidebar stories in Derby. The Phillies, Bonnie South was out there working today. The Swiss Skydiver will work tomorrow morning. And, you know, the one innovation that has made it easier for Derby watchers and those preparing for Derby and Oaks weekend, the advent of these workout video and the fact that it's all taped and you can go back and watch it at your leisure. It's a big help because not everybody, obviously, people on the way to work and whatever else, not everybody can, you know, carve out that time. So at your convenience, you can watch these played back, and it's time well spent, and not just for preparing for this undertaking next Friday, a week from today and a week from tomorrow. Very different lead up, but the same, you know, the same expanded 2 days of action. And, you know, one thing, and I'll bring it up with Jay and later with Dave Grenig, I was giving you the lineup as well. You know, the fact that there's going to be such deep and widespread action, you know, on particularly on Saturday, with everything going on, closing weekends at Del Mar and Saratoga. So it's going to be you better eat your Wheaties for this. It's going to be a serious weekend of racing and of, you know, all the preparations that go with it. This weekend, of course, we got a few, you know, beside this action at Charlestown, we got a big day here in New York tomorrow, and that's why we're a little worried about the weather aspect and how much of it will come through here. But, you know, the forego in particular, and I made the forego the race of the weekend for the Beat Bick contest. In fact, I stayed at Saratoga this weekend from both races. The forego on Saturday, the Shoe V on Sunday. The Shoe V came up as a really intriguing chess match. I'm anxious to talk to Dave Grenig. You probably haven't, you know, looked that far ahead to Sunday, and I only pulled it up this morning to see what was going on. But those were the two races that I'm going to use, and the forego tomorrow, wet track or no wet track, should be terrific. A really good roundup of, you know, existing hard-hitting sprint stake horses and some aspiring types. Should be good. A lot of familiar names and a few you might get to know. I mean, if you haven't seen it, Everfast, Whitmore, Lexingtonian, Funny Guy, True Timber, Complexity, Win Win Win, Firenze Fire, Majestic Dunhill, Mind Control, and Fortin Hill. Chad with a pair. And of course, you know, you got a few horses that come to New York and on a regular basis in Mind Control and Firenze Fire in particular. I'll be honest. I'll tell you already. I ended up landing on Funny Guy, which surprised me a little bit. But it feels like he's kind of the now horse coming into this. 9-2, and I think you'll end up getting every bit of that, and third choice going in, and might end up even trickling up a little higher, because I think Mind Control, who's 6-1, will take some money. Forense will take some money. Familiarity, Chad with Complexity, 4-1, is going to take. Whitmore is always popular. He's the 7-2 favorite. We'll talk to both Dave Grenig and also to Nick in Hour 3. Dave will join us at the top of Hour 3. Nick Tamaro after Dave, and then I left things kind of open, depending on how Phil we get. Hammer, of course, and I told you that KK, Kevin Kirstein, who's been delivering a parade of great information for people, and working with Darren in the media office, and a serious handicapper in his own right, a NHC qualifier, good contest player, good player. And now the baby hasn't come yet. I think they announced. I better look this up. I think they announced that there's a baby on the way. So nice. Couple of quick hits as well from yesterday. And how about Rich Eng? That was great. It took Rich about post time actually yesterday to pop one. And how about $10? $10. And, you know, it's funny, for a horse that was being, I won't say touted, I mean, Rich picked him, but what was interesting with After Prom Party, he was also a big trip horse, and yet, you know, went off as the 4-1 third choice. And Ryan Flanders and the Trip Notes team, they were all over After Prom Party too. So you got Rosario and a trip horse and Rich Eng all together paid $10. You know, obviously when you have a day like yesterday, and Naira tried to keep the races, a couple of races I mentioned while we were on the air, tried to keep two races on the turf, but then after we got off the air at noon, the more rain, and so they gave in, and everything ended up coming off. So it kind of carved up the card, obviously, and you ended up with, you know, lots of late scratches. There's always one, and there's always a day like this, you know, a couple of times a summer. And actually, knock on wood, we've been pretty fortunate on that front. Very few races lost to weather so far this summer. Hope it doesn't. Obviously, we got this incoming storm. And then, you know, that horse that I mentioned with Rich at the end of the show ended up taking all the money. Went off at even money. He only got 410 on Malibu Mischief, who just was obvious as a horse with the race coming off the turf, you know, was gonna have to go to the lead from the rail, and having Kendrick Carmouche never hurts on that front, and Malibu Mischief, as you know, as kind of anticipated. You also had in the stake, which came off, the Smart and Fancy, Jorge Duarte, and George had been sick with COVID, and had been sick, not just sidelined and you know, sweating it out and waiting it out. George was sick, and congratulations to him with Introduced, the El Padrino, for Rich Santulli, wins the under Manny, wins the Smart and Fancy. You know, and today we should mention, don't want.
people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
World's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up,
if I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation. It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back to ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
The races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. Obviously, the spectrum haven't had this happen in ages, actually. So don't know what per se is causing it, getting us dropping the line, but I was just talking about today's action at Saratoga and the way, you know, we're off the 5th and the 10th are off the turf, but the card should hold together nicely, and the Lake George, your feature. So we'll talk to Dave Grenigan and Nick in hour 3, and actually I broke this thing up. It's pretty interesting. I've got hour 1 where Eric Zimney's going to join us momentarily. So we got Zimney and Scully, and we'll cover Charlestown's action tonight, and then Jay with some Derby and Del Mar, and Kevin Kirstein with the Derby and Oaks. Hammer, of course, we'll check in with, and then New York in hour 3. Eric Zimney joins us from Charlestown, and the fact, I said this to start the show, Eric, good morning, number one.
Morning, Steve, how are you?
Excellent, and the fact that you pulled this card together and under, the circumstances, and still, rich Charlestown Classic. You ended up, drawing a really fun competitive field. The Oaks, which became the second graded stake at Charlestown, came up well. I know there's a scratch or two to mention in here, but well done putting this card together for tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Steve. Our racing office really did a great job in hustling these races. As I'm sure you can guess, this isn't an easy year to do much of anything right now. And, we thought we had a pretty good plan to put these two races on the same day and left it in the hands of our racing office to hustle them. And like I said, they did a phenomenal job. So a couple scratches in the Oaks, like you said. Classic looks like it should stay together. And we have a pretty sizable pick six carryover we're paying out tonight, so hopefully the bettors respond.
Let me ask you, do you know officially Hopeful Growth? I know.
Yeah, she's running in the Other Oaks next Friday, as I like to say. But she's out, and I believe number 5 ankle monitor is out as well, and the also eligible will not run, so I think it's going to be a field of 8.
Yeah, run them down again, actually. I lost you there for a second.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I believe number 5 ankle monitor, from what I understand, is going to be out. Hopeful growth, as you said, will be out, and then the also eligible will not run. So I believe a field of 8, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice. Turtle Tracks, Born, Tonal is Shape in for Safi Joseph, Princess Katie, Claudio Gonzalez, and he had also entered Ankle Monitor, Wicked Whisper, Steve Asmussen, Fly on Angel, and Lindsay's Lucky Lady, Bob Hess, and Phil Schoenthal with Gifted Heart. So a nice eclectic, actually. You did draw from a... kind of a wide geographic range looking at that list. Pretty good. Well done. And then, of course, the classic. How much decision-making was involved and in terms of money, the gaming, and everything that's gone on? Update everybody, if you would, Eric, on how you guys handled things and West Virginia in general when it came to, allowing the gaming facilities to reopen, et cetera.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as the gaming, though, with its impact on racing, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. We get our lion's share of our purse money from gaming operations, so being down for two and a half months, it really impacted what we could do with these races and the program as a whole. I mean, segments of the program are just going to have to be downsized this year. Stakes are no exception, just because we don't have that 12-month influx of money like we normally would. But we reopened racing in May, and then the casino filed about a month later in June, and it's a different experience than what you would obviously get if you came here in normal times, but we feel like we're providing a safe environment for customers, which is first and foremost, and we think that the crowd tonight, we're going to limit it to 600 people on the racing side, and that's not many. I mean, usually there's 1,000 people in the dining room alone, so it's definitely going to be a different environment than it normally would, but at the same time, good show, and the people here have a good time, and hopefully the people out in simulcast land will tune in too, and there's more than one way to get a betting dollar in this game, as everybody knows. It doesn't have to be on track. It could very well be through the export market, so that's really what we're hoping to appeal to tonight.
Well, West Virginia bred action that bookends the stake sequence. Stake sequence starts with race 6, 7:44, and all the way through the next 3 hours, 10:48, the last of the stake sequence goes off. And a million, 1.2 or so in purses in this sequence. You mentioned the mandatory payout in that pick 6. I'm just looking. Races 7 through 12, and... starts with the dance to Bristol and goes to that nightcap to the Bishop. So races 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, before scratches 7 by 7 by 9 by 8 by 10 by 8. So this is not an easy, not necessarily an easy sequence. I mentioned earlier, Eric, that I'm heading to Louisville. And there was one year where I was able to come out. It's when Duke of Mischief, right? Duke of Mischief?
Duke of Mischief, yeah. That was the first year where it was a graded race back in 2011.
I think that was the time that on my way to Louisville I was able, because it was 2 weeks out. I mean, one of the funny things that I've been toying with coming to you and for tonight, and then then making the rest of the drive to Louisville tomorrow. Proximity to the Derby. How much of the planning, because it's kind of funny that you end up landing on this date, much the way you would if this had been April.
Yeah, it is. It really, I mean, in a way, it kind of just worked out that way, because we looked at the competitive landscape and thought to ourselves, look, we usually compete with the Ali Sheba for horses anyway. We usually also compete with the Oakland Handicap. Well, the Pacific Classic is kind of at the same time, so those were probably a wash. And we didn't know at the time the Woodward was going to be next weekend. But when they made it a mile and a quarter, it probably lent itself to a little bit of a different horse than we would have been looking at anyway. So, as the competitive landscape went, you know, this was probably going to be the best spot. And I don't want to say it was coincidence that it wound up right before the Derby, too, but it kind of was. but, you know, of course, yeah, well, I'm disappointed now that I knew that you might have been in play to come here for tonight now. This, you know, this changes things.
Well, I... Tina's might. I don't know if she's within earshot or not, but she already thinks I'm crazy for even making this trip to begin with. So adding in a swing through to Charlestown. I don't know if I'm going to sell this one. Although once I get in the car and drive, she doesn't know what I'm doing. I could tell her, I could tell her I'm in Erie. I could tell her I'm in Pittsburgh. She won't know.
three words for you, Steve. Keep the peace.
Plausible deniability. What? See, the problem, you know what? It was fine until they started putting the camera phones in. And so, you know, and all of a sudden she hits FaceTime and
exactly.
let me see the hotel room. Oh, boy. Okay. That's not going to work.
Love it.
You want to do a little handicapping? You got a couple of opinions?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely looked at at least the two big races and. Happy to do so. I mean, I think they're both very different from a pace scenario, which is kind of what makes them interesting to me.
Yeah, start with the girls, the Oaks, 9:43.
Yeah, look, I mean, you've got, you know, Bernie from Florida, who looks like she's a pretty quick horse, drawing inside down there. You've got Flying Angel, Wicked Whisper, Lindsay's Lucky Lady. You really looks like you've got, you know, a fair amount of speed in that race. I could see that pace being, you know, pretty fast in there. And then you've got horses like Tonal Shape and Turtle Tracks who don't necessarily, they don't figure to be up close and on that lead. And, they might wind up lucking into some really good trips with the way the race shakes out. And, you know, with it being 8 horses now instead of 10, you would think that would reduce any traffic trouble just a little bit. For a horse like Tonal Shape especially, who's probably going to be getting a ground-saving trip and probably mid-pack early. So I think that race kind of fits her, but it doesn't shock me to see someone coming late to pick up some pieces too there.
We should actually include in this conversation for both races. I mean, obviously for the Oaks, it's one circuit around going 7/8, and for the boys' race, it's not the boys necessarily, but for the feature, it's 3 turns. Give everybody a feel for how the track plays, and on a general basis, you know, the kinds of horses under this trip at 7/8, and then we'll talk about the 3 turns.
Yeah, so 7/8, I mean, the run of the first turn is, it's still pretty good. Post matters a little bit, not as much as you would necessarily think with it being a 2-turn 7/8. I mean, the mile and eighth is like to me, it's a pretty true mile and eighth. The 7/8, it really is a little bit of a hybrid between a sprint and, you know, like a 2-turn mile or something like that. So it's a good race because you can kind of catch horses who are coming from both ends of it, from both the sprint end of it, and some who, you know, might find a mile and an eighth, even mile and a 16th, a little bit far. Like a Tonal Shape, I mean, that's why the horse kind of fits to me really perfectly in a spot like this, that, it's going to appeal to sprinters and to kind of limited routers. The mile and an eighth, as long as you're an athletic horse and can get around those 3 turns, to me it plays like a true mile and an eighth kind of race. Post there doesn't really mean as much. A mile and a 16th here, it starts kind of right on the turn, the first of the 3 turns. Mile and an eighth, you got a pretty good run. You can get positioned fairly easily. I mean, look, there's post positions that you can disadvantage you no matter, you know, how big the field is, if it's the right kind of mix of, you know, speed and pace horses and what have you. But, I don't think post is going to be an issue in the Classic tonight either. So I'd see that playing pretty fairly based on, you know, what the race shape kind of looks like.
Well, there's two horses to mention, excuse me, in this that are that have had experience, and they both have run solid seconds at Charlestown in their PPs. Gifted Heart for Phil Schoenthal, who certainly knows how to win at Charlestown, and Claudio Gonzalez sends that Princess Katie, and she ran early on in her career at Charlestown, was second in her third career start, and so a couple of horses that have made it over the track, and that counts for plenty at Charlestown. Not necessarily a surface that everybody just comes in and immediately takes to.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if it's the service as much as the configuration, and I'll give a couple other bits of news here. I mean, Hearst Bernie from, who is, you know, at a Gulfstream, that horse has been here for over a week getting over the track, and, you know, she's gone to the track every morning, and in the classic Sleepy Eyes Todd, they shipped in here a while ago, too, so those have been a couple horses that have been, you know, getting themselves acclimated, you know, not just to the surface, but to the turns they're going to face, and I think you're right. It certainly doesn't hurt, and you know, on its best scenario, can certainly be an advantage. So I see that as an advantage for a horse like that? The answer is yes, I do. So, you know, some horses are going to take to it no matter when they show up. But if you look, I mean, there's a reason I think that horses from our barn area are 3 for 5 in the history of this race. I mean, you know, it is a little bit of a horse for course kind of deal. And, you know, I put some stock in horses having been here for a little while.
Well, let's talk about last year's winner then, coming in at 12-1, Running to Love You, for Tim Grahams, and a tremendous story. And of course, Tim, is Tim going to be ponying too? Is he going to be watching the race from the track?
I'm sure he will be. For people who don't know, I mean, the horse is kind of a handful. He's got a mind of his own, and Tim Grahams is the owner and the trainer. He ponies the horse himself. You know, he's gotten to know him, and so he will be on the horse's head when the horse gets saddled in the paddock, and I'm sure he'll be ponying the horse to the gate. And you know, it's kind of neat to see. You don't really get to see that every day in a graded stakes race or any race for that matter. But yeah, I'm sure he will be. And look, I know on paper, some people have said it's weird. I've heard two diverging opinions that one, they feel like there's a good amount of speed in this race, and two, you know, there's people who don't feel that there's much at all, and I'm kind of a little bit more in the second camp than the first camp, and I certainly think Sleepy Eyes Todd will be on the lead. I don't know why Running to Love You won't get a similar trip to the one he got last year, where he just kind of sat off Diamond King and, you know, passed with maybe 3/8 to go and had to hold him off. You know, Diamond King was pretty game and fought back there at the end, but Running to Love You eventually got the best of him. You know, he came in that race last year. He'd won 8 in a row. He doesn't have the same kind of form to show for this year. So is he going to be good enough to get past, you know, a horse who's going to be on the front end and then hold off the Mr. Moneys and Math Wizards and War Stories of the world this year? And I don't know what the answer is to that. You know, I'd be less confident to say yes than I would have last year. But the pace scenario to me gives him a little bit of an advantage, and the horse is fired fresh over his career. So if the horse wasn't doing well to me, you know, the fact that he's in here is a pretty good sign.
You mentioned a couple of names that obviously are going to be, you know, a big part of the storyline, and Math Wizard feels like a horse that people are going to gravitate toward. You've got the presence of Mr. Money in here for Brett Calhoun, coming off of a sprint at Keeneland that I really didn't know what he was doing in there, and if what Brett Calhoun necessarily was angling toward, but he shows up here. You mentioned Sleepy Eyes Todd for Silva, and I got to bring up War Story, who's 4-1 coming in, who's running this repeatedly, has always run well in this race, and it feels like you can't run the Charlestown Classic now without War Story.
No, he's going to be the second horse behind Imperative. It could be weird not having Imperative in the race, too. But, yeah, War Stars will be his fourth go in the race, only the second horse to do that. And, you know, he's run well over the track the previous three times. He's got a pretty long layoff in his PPs, of course, but I know they've been pointing this race for a while. I know this was the target after the trip to Dubai kind of fell through. So I always think horses who have a certain race in their sights, and that's the goal, and that's what they're pointing to, and everything's kind of geared around that, those horses are always going to be dangerous, not to mention the horse's form at the track is obviously going to be something that's going to give him a little bit of an edge. I thought Math Wizard's last race at Monmouth was very good, actually. You know, I know he came up about a length short, but, you know, I thought he finished, you know, pretty well in Global Campaign. You know, just ran a good race, you know, that day. I think Math Wizard needs a little bit of pace to run into if he gets it. You know, no reason he can't win. To me, Mr. Money, I don't know if the 6.5 at Keeneland was a little bit more of just they didn't have anywhere to go with him, you know, because spots were kind of limited, you know, and they have been kind of limited over the last few months. I thought his race in the Blame was really good, actually. He was, you know, I know that the chart says 6 wide. It felt like he was more than that, and I can't really forgive him. I mean, I can't really, you know, knock him for not taking to a pretty, you know, sloppy track or wet track, at least at Oaklawn, in a race where he runs into Tom Zitton and Probable. So, you know, I think Mr. Money is going to be tough in here. And if, you know, I had to, you know, make one pick on top, that's probably who I'd go with.
Got to mention Ron Paolucci. Mo don't know his very nice million-dollar winning Ohio bred. And Ron, of course, you mentioned Imperative. Ron won this race 3 years ago and has made it a focus. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he may have bought into Imperative with this race in mind. And there's a really top to bottom in here. We haven't talked about Plisket Parfait for Brendan Walsh, and Multiplier on the outside. Peter Miller shows up last seen in the Foster, where he ran a nice even race behind Tom's Detat. So an interesting, actually, Multiplier's interesting, and gets Arnaldo Bocachica, who certainly knows his way around that oval.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's the leading rider here, and I think that's another thing that folks who you know, either watch just this race at Charlestown or tend to follow us year-round. I mean, it is only going to be local riders here tonight. So, you know, it's a pretty cool story. I mean, a lot of these guys, this is going to be a huge opportunity, really a chance of a lifetime for some of them to ride a live mountain, a race like this. And I can tell you they're all really excited to do so. So Bocachica is the leading rider here. Multiplier, you know, he gets up by, you know, a long head or a short neck in the big cap, and you're talking about a grade one winner. And, you know, this horse has made a good amount of money. He, you know, 3 for almost 30 in his career, doesn't win as much, but look, with Bocachica in the saddle, you know, I'm sure that they're pretty confident in sending the horse here to a rider like that. It'll be interesting to see what kind of trip he's going to work out from that post. I don't see it being you know, a death blow by any means to start from out there. So a lot of ways you can go in this race, Steve, and I guess at the end of the day, you got to pick someone.
Well, or you can use a few, play the multis. The pick four starts in race 9 with the Russell Road, and, of course, the pick 5 as well, which starts in race 8. And, you know, I've got the list of winners in front of me, and, you know, going back to Researcher, and Jeff Runco was talked about early in the week because he sent that horse out to Indiana, to win the Indiana Breds. 3 for 3 now.
Yeah, I think that was a new farm horse. Yeah, he sent out there to win that
Novak
out, and yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's, we didn't have any Indiana bred races here, so we didn't mind him shipping the horse out of town. you know, Jeff will have a strong presence here for sure, and I think he's actually going to saddle Multiplier because him and Peter Miller are pretty close. So, you know, Jeff will have a big say in the outcome of a lot of races on this card tonight too.
Eric Zimney, everybody, and the action at Charlestown tonight. Force out of the pick 6. How much is in the pot to start?
So 121,000 in the pot, and the takeout for the bet is only 12%. So pretty good opportunity for players.
I'll tell you what, that is. And what's the minimum?
20-cent base. So
it is a 20-cent base.
You know, it is a smaller base, of course, but you know, last couple times we've done this and had a forced payout, there's been a player's advantage every time of anywhere from, I think, 3 or 4% up to 12 or 13%, so that we've paid out on top of the gross pool for the night. So you know, definitely a good betting opportunity, and the pick 5 here is 12% too, as far as takeout is concerned. So you know, we like to think of ourselves as a pretty player friendly track, and hopefully that's reflected well in our takeout rates.
Well done. Eric Zimney, everybody, and you can follow EZ and the action at Charlestown, and I know, I'm sure that, I haven't looked, but I'm sure the HRRN team is going to cover this tonight, right?
Yeah, they'll be doing it in studio, I believe, from Lexington, but there and them and TBG will both be covering it tonight.
Excellent. Eric, if I end up on your doorstep, I'll shoot you a call or a text.
You're always welcome, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Zimny, and if you want to follow Eric, it's with an H, actually. Put in an H. E-R-I-C-H-Z-I-M-N-Y, and Charlestown races and slots. We're going to stay right here, and we'll keep talking about the two Charlestown races before we dive into anything else, because James Scully is standing by. Scully, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
You might have heard a little bit there at the end with Eric. What do you make of these two races tonight?
I like them. I think they both came up. I thought the Charlestown Classic really came up competitive, and the Charlestown Oaks as well. It definitely got some quality fillies. A little disappointed to hear that Hopeful Growth will be coming out, but still with the presence of Tonal Shape in there. You know, two intriguing races. They really did a good job drawing big fields and some quality runners.
Go ahead. Give me some thoughts on the Oaks. Start there.
All right. In the Oaks, I just, you know, to me, I like Tonalist Shape. I thought that, you know, she was able to get a mile in the 16th at Gulfstream 2 back when she won that listed stake race. But last time in the Coachee Club American Oaks, I mean, she was, you know, 6-5 in that race. And she did have a troubled trip, but I don't think she was going to win that race at a mile and eighth, even if she had a perfect trip that day. I don't think at this point in her career, she's predisposed to two-turn distances, and or at least route distances. And I think she's going to be super tough on the cutback to 7 furlongs. I like the move to take the blinkers off. There appears to be plenty of pace in this race, and she's got the tactical speed. I think just to set a great trip right off the leaders and pounce in the stretch. The other horse that intrigues me in here at a price a little bit is number one, Turtle Tax. Because I do think that this filly is capable of taking advantage of a good setup. She's going to be running late for Ian Wilkes. And I look back at her race, Turtle Tracks race in the Suncoast at a mile and 40 yards earlier this year. I thought she really ran a solid effort that day, finishing second. I thought her effort at Churchill, two starts back against Frank's Roquette, wasn't bad. And last time in that Beaumont at Keeneland, she just really ran into a buzzsaw. Ford races. Really look forward to seeing her come back and run on Derby weekend against that Monday call in the 8 bells. So really dropping class a little bit in the sense where Turtle Tracks off that race. And I think she has the best chance at an upset. But I'm definitely Tonalist Shape's my top pick, Steve.
Very good. I'll put the X there. Scully on the 3 tonight, 3-1 starting out for Safi Joseph's Tonalist Shape, who has danced a lot of dances this season. Dive into the feature, the Grade 2, $600,000, Charlestown Classic.
I'll tell you, in this Charlestown Classic, there are a lot of graded stakes winners in here, a lot of horses with that class. You know, we got some millionaires in here, multiple millionaires, but these horses have also a little bit, their form is suspect this year. I was looking at the 10 horses in the main body of the field, and they are combined 3-34 this year. And I think it's a race that is going to set up that could be taken advantage of by a 4-year-old colt like Sleepy Eye Todd. I do think that his run style is favorable in here. There's not a lot of pace in here outside of the defending champ running to Lovia, who really prefers to sit just off the speed in my mind. And I just think Sleepy Eye Todd, I like his current form. I like his last two races, and I think he'll take advantage of a favorable setup. You know, I look back at him. The last time he went a mile and an eighth distance in that Oklahoma Derby, he really ran a heck of a race last year. His brisk speed numbers are strong. He was second in that Oklahoma Derby that was won by Owendale. Mucho Gusto was fourth. Even your horse that you like, Funny Guy, in the forego. He was sixth in that race. So it's really remarkable how tough that Oklahoma Derby came up last year. And Sleepy Eyes Todd ran well that day at the Mile and Eight Trip. I look for an improved effort tonight, and I'm giving him the edge.
Yeah, you get a what feels like a certain price in here. He's got to be a mid-priced. You know, I don't, he's not going to be lower than 6-1. I wouldn't think.
No, no, probably won't be. And you know, I just think like a horse like Multiplier, obviously, and you know, and Math Wizard both look to me like they could be potentially over bet. I look at them more as like underneath type horses. The other horse that intrigued me from a win perspective is War Story. Obviously, he likes the track, having you know run. You know, he was I think a neck second 2 years ago. He was third in 2017 and third last year. But last year you saw where he was just so far back in the early stages. I think in this year's field, there's not a lot of pace. If War Story can get out of the gate, he's eligible to receive that that trip where he's not too far back that he does best with, and he could be in position to make his you know make a presence felt in the stretch. I look for him to run a pretty good race. So I'm going with Sleepy Eyes Todd. War Story is my top two in the Charlestown Classic.
Very good. James Scully with us, and we'll turn our attention to the weekend and Little Derby Oaks conversation. Got a little under 10 minutes, James, and quick review of last weekend. Any fallout, any thoughts from what we talked about a week ago?
You know, the not really. You know, I'm still like you mentioned earlier in the show. It was really cool as far as getting to see both Swiss Skydiver on the track the last 2 days and Art Collector on the track. It's a really exciting time with all these horses coming in from California and New York this weekend. You know, I'm just really excited. I wrote a piece this week on that Oaks. I just think it's a great matchup between Gamin and Swiss Skydiver, and I think it's a situation where they both have real big aspirations potentially this fall, and the winner of that race, you know, could be taken on. You know, to me, the Derby is Kislaw's race to win, but I am very intrigued by Honor AP. I think he has the best chance to beat him, and that's sort of my thoughts on it right now, Steve.
Very good. All right. Let's dive into the weekend action. Where'd you go?
Okay, in the forego, I look at this race. It really didn't come up that speed laden a field in there, and I really like Complexity's comeback effort on July 2nd at Belmont Park. Know he likes the track. He ran such a splendid debut race when he won it at Saratoga 2 years back. I look for him to be. You know, really run a big race on the front end. And I think this race really comes down to the Chad Brown duo. Fort and Hill, that race last time, came back real strong from a speed-ready perspective. He has good tactical speed as well. I'm going with the Brown duo and the forego, Complexity, and Fortin Hill. And then in the Amsterdam, I think that race is just Basin's race to lose. It's interesting. You get six horses in there, Steve. Four of them look like they're, at least three of them look like they're committed to the lead. Basin will have to work out a trip from that rail post. The horse that intrigues me a little bit as an upset candidate is that Liam's Pride.